Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organizing isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we're all trying to figure it out. Hello, welcome back to Unpacking with Jennifer. I am very excited to be chatting with you guys again. It's so interesting. Charlotte has been having some issues at school, you know, with personalities and her little friends and, you know, trying to navigate that. And I'm kind of just diving right in, I guess, because it's been heavy on my heart and my head. I remember having these kind of things in high school. I don't really remember so much third grade, second grade, like friendships and stuff like that. But she feels all the things, and which is wonderful. I feel all the things. I'm very emotional. I cry at commercials. She feels, and she feels it hard, and she feels it fast. And I think it's just, I don't remember my mom having these conversations with me so young about like feelings. And, you know, this generation is very like, let's talk about our feelings and let's tell me how you feel. And if you make this face, what does that mean? And, you know, all the things that go along with that. I just don't remember that in my world. And so I am not very savvy in this area. You know, in my head, I'm just like, you know, of course I want to protect her. I want everyone to like her. I want to think that she does no wrong. Of course she does. Trying to teach her, like, sometimes friendship is give and take. You know, if somebody doesn't want to play something that you want to play, that's okay. And it's okay if you don't want to play what they want to play, but you guys have to alternate. So, you know, just different personalities. And it's hard because I don't want to be that parent that reaches out to the principal or reaches out to the teachers and all of that. And I have found myself, you know, having to do that. Not very often. I would say this year we've had the most conversations, which is like one or two, but she just, you know, she feels all the things and they're becoming, you know, people. They're getting personalities. They're vocal about what she likes and she doesn't like. And she doesn't like when someone says that to you, and she doesn't think it's fair if somebody's playing something and she doesn't want to play it, but then when they want to play and she doesn't want to play, they get mad at her. Just all these little like bullshit things that are so important. And they are. I'm not taking away from it. It's just been a weird couple weeks with that kind of stuff going on, and I didn't quite see that coming so soon. I actually just got back from Charlotte's game. It was a playoff game going into, her team's going to the championship, and it's so funny because Charlotte definitely has done better the last couple games. This game especially, she actually touched the ball, which I feel should be an award in itself. She touched the ball. I saw her dribble the ball once. She touched the ball, and she did try to shoot the ball once. So all three things that she did not do in the past, she did while we were sitting there. David and I were sitting there, and it was really great, and I was really proud of her but she's also really lucked out. This is her third year of playing some type of sport. In kindergarten, it was soccer, and then in second grade, and this year it's been basketball. And all three times she's gone to the championship. She really hasn't been the striking force of that happening, but she's really lucked out. And I tell her, you know, you're going to the championship. You're very lucky, honey. Of all three things you've gone to, and they've won two so far. Next week is the championship game. So we'll see if the Lakers are going to sign her when we're done. I don't know. But it's just so funny because I don't want her to think that everything is always glitter and lollipops. But in her case, she has been very lucky. There's some good players on the team and they really, you know, do a good job. And it's just, I don't know, it's just funny. I'm like, you don't know, kid. You don't know. You don't know what it's like to not make the championship or to be in last place on these teams. So we'll see what happens next week. Good luck to her and the team. But I just, there's no parenting book about some of the like minutia bullshit that you deal with, like meltdowns that are like, you don't know really why. As a baby, they're like, oh, if they do this, they do this. But now they have a voice. And sometimes there's some stuff that you're just like, I don't really know what to do. So instead of doing something, you just kind of like, okay, I understand. I always say that, like, okay, I understand. And I'm like, I really don't understand what's happening. So it's just kind of funny. As parents, you just, sometimes you're just like, okay. And you're like, David and I will be staring at each other like, what the hell just happened? And we just like continue on with our day. And I kind of have to laugh about it because some days you just don't know. I don't pretend to know. I just don't remember this stuff like when I was growing up. I mean, we didn't have any of this shit. I don't remember after school sports until like later, maybe sixth grade. I think I was in track and I sucked. And I don't know. It's just, we didn't have Starbucks. We didn't have all this stuff that we do after school and all this activities. And some days I'm like, I'm more tired from being her Uber driver than I am from working all day. So it's just very interesting. And some days it catches me off guard and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. So after trying to figure out what you're doing as a parent, I don't know. And all the things that I see that I'm like, wow, we just didn't do all this stuff. It's just, you know, just learning and trying to adapt to a little person versus when I was a kid, because that was so long ago, apparently. I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today in terms of organizing. And so, you know, there's a lot of different things that I see when going into a home. I've mentioned some of this stuff before, and I just, you know, there is sometimes there's a lot of tension between spouses and there's a lot of blame and there's a lot of fighting, and I've really seen it all, really truly have seen it all. And some of it is uncomfortable. Some of it, I just say, you know what, if you want me to stay, great. If you don't, great. But a lot of times there's this blame and why the house looks the way it does, why, you know, what is being done, what isn't being done. If you're a stay-at-home mom, what do you do during the day? If you're the husband and you go to work every day and they come home and they expect it to look like a Pinterest, it's not going to. A lot of times I'll see the, you know, I think I've mentioned the husband will say like, you know, she can't get rid of everything. If it was up to me, I'd get rid of everything. And the funny caveat to that is that sometimes if you go in the garage or you go in, you know, if they have their own, like maybe their man room office, they actually are the ones that can't get rid of a lot of stuff. It's very overwhelming. You come home, you have, doesn't matter if you have one kid, five kids, 10 kids, you know, you come home, you have activities, you have naps, you have daycare, you have pickup, you have parties, you have all of these things. And sometimes that stuff gets kind of the list of organizing. Sometimes it goes down. It starts off with, today I'm going to organize. I just want to say how many times if I'm clearing off a, you know, pile of papers, or if I'm in an office, if I see a to-do list, 99% of the time, if I see a to-do list, one of the top two or three things is organize this, get organized. How many times I see books on how to be organized, reading about how to be organized, this, that, and the other. It's not a matter of, you know, organizing is, you know, that's a very broad spectrum. Some people, I go to their house and they say they're so unorganized. And I look and I think, oh, you're not really. You have systems. It's just a matter of the upkeep of the systems. Some people, it's just not in their wheelhouse. It's just not there. And that's okay. I feel, as my own diagnosis is, as a child, I'm an only child, and I feel that I always just picked up my room. I always put stuff away. I didn't have many toys. I like I've said before, I, you know, I didn't, we didn't have 50 million hundred things. We did not have it. You know, I remember like Rainbow Bright, Strawberry Shortcake. I had the Golden Books. I had two Barbies. A Cabbage Patch Kid was really big. I played with them, but I didn't have like the clothes they came in. That was it. I mean, we didn't have like Charlotte's Barbies have enough clothes that they, if they change clothes every day and they came to life, they would have enough clothes for like a year. I had the outfit they came in and maybe like one other set of outfits. I mean, really so minimal. So I always just kept things neat. And now, you know, as a society, as a country, you know, Americans as a country, as a society, we're very gluttonous. I may have also said too, like my patterns of stuff have changed in terms of shopping or yes, I like stuff. Yes, I love beauty products. Yes, I love shoes. Yes, I love makeup. Yes, I love all these things. But seeing what people get rid of, seeing the going into a closet and them not knowing that they have 12 bags of clothes that they bought 6 months ago that they forgot about or even longer. And they're like, I didn't even remember I had those because they couldn't see them because they were on the floor and we bought them online at the middle of the night and then it came and you hid it from your husband or you threw it in the closet because you didn't want to deal with it. And sometimes that's just how it is. And you know, there's no judgment on why and the how, but it's just creating some simple systems to, you know, just kind of help you with the day to day. Now, I can give you a million suggestions. I can give you a million ideas. I can tell you about all the stuff you can buy and use if you need to. A lot of people who say they aren't organized have already bought all the containers because that was their intention. We all have good intentions, right? We all are going to be quilters. We're going to learn to crochet. We're going to do crafts. I remember one time at this house, this woman had, she had a build out in her living room, in her family room, a whole wall. It was a build out, which is fantastic if you can ever get those, you know, the drawers, the cabinets, the shelves, all of those things. And I remember opening one of the drawers. It was a large drawer. And I remember all it was empty toilet paper rolls, empty toilet paper rolls. And I'm talking like probably 100, let's just say. And I'm like, oh, you save your, and she's like, oh, for crafting. I was going to do these projects and I just kept saving them and we never did the projects. Well, now the kid isn't even into crafting anymore. Maybe she's now in like, she's like 11 or 12 and she didn't care. And I just thought most people would save like two or three and she saved every single toilet paper roll probably for, you know, a year and never even did it. And she would joke and be like, oh, well, I had good intentions. We all do. We all do. We're going to exercise, you know, 6 days a week. We're going to do all these things and don't beat yourself up. But what it is nice about having an extra set of hands, whether it's mine or others, is just having a system that when you do have 5 or 10 minutes, you can put it away and you know where it goes. And that is what, you know, really just helps. Because sometimes we're just like, I don't have anywhere to put it. And you have to move 75 things to get it to that place. And that is where the struggle lies. And I feel like that's where everyone kind of gets paralyzed and they don't know what to do. And so what do when we don't know what to do? Sometimes we shove shit in a closet, we put it in a drawer, we hide it in a closet, and then that's it. And then we forget about it because it's easier. Or you have people come over, you clear off all the clutter, put it in a bag, put it in a box, whatever. And you're like, I'll deal with it later. And later is, you know, 2 years later. So those are things that you're not alone and there's no judgment at all. So you're not alone. And a lot of people feel like sometimes they fail. They're, you know, I'm never organized. I'm not this, I'm not that. It's like, just don't do that. If you can, you know, it is overwhelming. And sometimes we just get paralyzed and you have fresh eyes that come in and try to create an environment that will help you day to day. So I'm going to talk about paperwork and offices today. And I'm going to say that this could be a conversation 14 times over because I do help with the basic office. Let's say I work from home or I have a desk and I put my paperwork on it and I have mail and I have bills and I have some papers and important papers and not important papers and all of these things. And you just have your normal office setting. A lot of times I see papers that are put on the table, the dining table, in a stack, mail that's just piled up in a bag or whatever. And mail is my starting point because what I don't understand or I try to relay, and I feel like it's a pretty easy just check off task, but it is a task. So I do understand the not doing it. But most people nowadays, I would say if 65% of the people pay everything online, It's an auto debit. It comes right out of your account. There is a box to you set it up. You're doing it. You don't even have to get a bill. You set up paperless. Right off the bat, that should be the first thing you do. Unless you are, I say the generation that's a little bit older, they sometimes like the tangibility of holding the paper, seeing the statements. They don't trust the computers. They don't trust, electronic stuff. That's fine. But for those of us that just pay online, it comes out every month automatically. We don't care. We don't need to see a statement. Just check the green, be green, save the statement situation because 90% of the shit we get mail-wise is statements and or junk. Actually, I probably feel like it's 95%. I'll be honest with you. Like no one's reading some of these statements that come in because you're like, "Oh, it's already paid. It's already paid." But there is a percentage of people that don't trust it. They want to do it. They want to send it. Maybe pay online. Some people still want to send checks. That's a very small percentage, but right out of the gate, you can eliminate a lot of that extra mail that you're looking at and double checking or just receiving. That just goes in a pile, and you're just like, I've paid this, health insurance, those kind of statements that are big and bulky. If you have investments, some people want to see how they're doing. A lot of this stuff you can do online. Bank statements, your investment statements, those type of things. You can view everything online, cell phone bills, all of that. If you want to open up the mail, you want to sit and, dissect and, look at your statement and just, what did I spend? What did I do? But most people can do that online. So if you're one of those people that really truly have faith in the online or the automatic payment system, please just click the box that you don't need the statement. And right off the bat, you're 80% less of mail that comes in. So with that being said about statements is you have your bank statements. A lot of people love to keep everything. And let me say one more time, everything. That is not necessary. Of course, you can do what you want to do. I just feel like today, with things being kind of simplified in terms of having that online viewing area and stuff like that, you don't need to hang on to things. If you ever need something, you can get statements, you can get numbers, you can get, interest that you earned tax-wise, if God forbid you're not receiving that. There are things that you can view on these accounts, and that would just simplify some of the paper. Obviously, if you have your own business, 7 years, yes, you want to keep your information, you want to keep your stuff, yes. God forbid if you absolutely needed to and you accidentally threw out something and you got audited, which in a lot of cases, I hear and see, and my mom actually does taxes. You don't really get audited past 3 years unless it's some like crazy situation. So again, if you need to, you probably can get a statement online from your bank or your investment company or any of those places if you need to. I always, for those that don't really, they're scared to not have stuff in their home. I just let them know, just keep what you need from the taxes that you haven't done yet. So in the current year of your taxes. So we're in 25, but we're doing our taxes for 24. Keep the 24 stuff available so you can, get and check and do and all of those things. And that brings you a little bit of peace of mind. But most of that stuff you really don't need to hang on to. And those file cabinets that we had that used to have, six drawers and sometimes these bigger to multiple file cabinets. You used to clip your coupons and put your rebates and keep your manuals. Oh my gosh, let me talk to you about manuals. So we get refrigerators, we get all that stuff. If it has a warranty, you want to hang on to it to prove that you bought it for your warranty. By all means, keep it in a file folder or keep it in an envelope or whatever. But I mean, you're buying a toaster. Most people, if you need to reference something, you can Google the model if you need to know how something works. I don't know that we need to keep all these manuals. I see drawers of manuals, drawers of manuals. And some of this stuff is 50 million years old. It's like you don't even have that anymore. You don't have it anymore. You don't need to keep it. And if you do, Google the model number. And you can find probably the information you need. Sometimes people will keep the boxes too. Oh boy. That's something I'm like, that is such a space waster to me. Like in the garage, sometimes half the garage is empty boxes. And people's things, a lot of times I'll be like, why don't you throw these away? Well, I got it at Costco, even though it was 5 years ago. And if it doesn't work, I can always return it. I mean, I don't know. Do we return things after 5 years if we've used it? That's up to you. But some of the stuff, you know, a $12 toaster that you've had for 5 years, you might have gotten your money's worth at this point. So some of these things are up to you as an individual. There's no judgment, but I'm just trying to teach you some space savers and like less time opening up mail. I have clients that all go in, they haven't opened up their mail in a year. Literally, like a year. There's years, couple years of stuff that is just, you know, because they get it online, it's automatically taken out. And then they hang on to the statements because that's what they get. And they put their mail in a box. And now we're going through 2 years of mail. And it's like, you didn't really need to, you know, have a lot of that. That's one extra very time consuming step to go through. But I do offices a lot. And then you have the people that work from home. And that's a little different situation because, you know, it's not just, you know, I have a few things on my desk. Maybe you do have files and, you know, you work from home. You're doing your stuff from home. You might have take home stuff. You might have reports. You might have that. Get a little file cabinet, you know, maybe a two drawer. Maybe one is for your home stuff and one is for your current work projects or however that works. Some people go to the office 2 times a day. Maybe the stuff you're not utilizing anymore at home, you can take to your actual office or vice versa. Papers, you know, a lot of times we get a little nervous about getting rid of them, but not in every case. Obviously, home stuff, stuff you bought your home, you have your car stuff that you bought, your title, important things that prove that you have it, especially like all your paperwork for your home or for your car or whatever, you know, keep it, obviously keep it. And people have like estate binders and stuff like that. Yes, keep those things. That's fine. But you don't need to have it in the drawer in your office if you're lacking space in that situation on your desk. Maybe your desk only has one or two drawers. You have a drawer of pens. And then you have a drawer of your paperwork and you have an estate binder that's, you know, half the drawer. So these are just things that you can put up somewhere, put it in a safe, put it in a firebox, whatever you want to do, but this will free up some space. Pens, supplies, office supplies. Boy, do we love office supplies. I mean, I've gone to several houses where it's boxes, small boxes, big boxes, pencil bags, pencil pouches, desk drawers, extra drawers with so many pens and pencils. And if there's kids, you know, they have their own section of everything they've bought since kindergarten. And we've hung on to every crayon and every broken piece of crap. And we hang on to it. It's like at some point, what I do is colored pencils, that type of thing. Yeah, you can hang on to them, but how many do you need? And if your kid is like, you know, if your kid's past like sixth grade, fifth grade, I don't think you're using crayons that often anymore. Maybe just have one little box of crayons and as a backup. Have scratch paper. I use this notepad, but it still has 8 pieces of paper on it, or a notebook, and it has 8 pieces of paper left. So I kept the whole notebook. I mean, whatever you want to do, but that's just like, we're keeping 10 million little, you know, your kids' old notebooks. Yes, you paid for it, but it was 50 cents. And I'm sure you don't need to pull out the 8 pieces of paper or pull out the 8 pieces of paper and make a folder just for like, you know, random notebook paper because your little one is drawing on it. And sure, you don't want to have to keep buying it. I understand. But these are things that we just hang on to because we feel like we need to. It's like, how many erasers does one person need? I see drawers and cabinets and, oh, we get the, you know, the craft drawers where it's like 10 drawers. You know, at the time when they created it, it's like, oh, good. You have colored pencils on one. You have, you know, crayons on one. You have this. But as the kid gets older, some of that stuff they're not using anymore. Are they using the big dot markers when they're in fifth grade? No. So donate them if you can, or maybe see if your school can take some of these extra supplies that you have. We love office supplies. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't really know that people use whiteout anymore, but I got to tell you, I still see it by the gallons. I really do. So the only thing I say have multiples of and keep multiples of are scissors. I feel like we always lose scissors. We never can have enough scissors. We love scissors, but yet never can find them when you need them. You know, magazines, if people still have magazines and books and pamphlets and, you know, stuff like that, just keep, you know, my mom was a prime example. My mother, for a very long period of time, she was super into Martha Stewart's magazines and she was super into like Better Homes and Gardens and like, you know, farmhouse kind of like cooking. My mom doesn't use recipes. I can maybe count one time where she used any of these recipes, any of these ideas. But when Martha Stewart's magazine came out, this woman, meaning my mother, was like, it was like gold. She'd go through it. She'd do all this stuff. She'd keep it. And you know, we moved a couple times, and you know, during this period of time, my mom had bought like two huge baskets. I'm talking like huge, like twins can fit in these baskets, like twin toddlers could fit in these baskets, just filled with Martha Stewart magazines, and the other one would be filled with like Better Homes and Gardens or whatever cooking. My mom eats vegetables every night with a roll. I mean, she's like, she barely eats. She's, you know, when is she cooking this 27 course meal with 37 ingredients? Never. That's when. Never. So one day I'm like, Mom, we're moving and you're paying someone to literally move all of these magazines that you don't look at. Well, they're Martha Stewart. What does that mean? They're Martha Stewart from 20 years ago. Some of the foods you don't even eat anymore. Some of the foods you don't even like, some of the foods aren't even cool anymore. Like everyone's on this was on this kale kick. Kale is the worst thing in the world. The only time kale is acceptable, like maybe if it's in like a soup or something, you don't really notice, but otherwise you've licked the bottom of the lawnmower. And I don't need 7,000 recipes to remind me that that's what it tastes like. She never, I mean, she the decorations, the this, the that, she wanted all of it because Martha Stewart was the shit. And you know, she's so talented, this, that, and the other, but she never opened the magazines and did any of the Halloween decorations or cut out the cookies and use the special. Like my mom's really gonna get a lighter and make creme brulee. She's never gonna do that. She's never gonna. She doesn't even eat sweets. Like I'm just like, Mom. So one day she's like, "You're gonna be proud of me. You won't be 100% proud of me because I got rid of like 50% of the magazines." I'm like, "I'll take it." I'm like, "That probably filled your recycle 20 times over." And I see that in other people's houses, stuff that you hung on to, this, that, and the other recipes. I'm like, all these people with these cookbooks. Yes, cook. Cookbooks are a statement in your kitchen. If you have this kitchen and you want to showcase a really cool cookbook or maybe a chef that you follow or you watch on the shows and stuff and you want to display it, great. But the reality is, I would say, and I'm guessing here because as much as I like to think I know a lot, I just go by what I see. And I would say about 75% of the people never, ever, ever open a cookbook ever. If they do want a recipe, this is like really reaching here. They'll Google the recipe, like chicken recipes or chicken casseroles or whatever. I don't even know if people do casseroles anymore, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I'll just Google something for stuffed chicken breast. Okay, great. You just Google it. Of the people that do hang on to them, maybe they use it for like holidays. Maybe they're going to try a new dessert or maybe they're going to try a new side dish or, but typically, I don't feel like people are making new things at holidays. You make the staples. You make turkey, you make chicken, you make maybe ham, or you do a maybe a soup or a stew or something. I mean, you're not like busting out some new recipes at the holidays. So really, a lot of people don't use those. I see rooms like cabinets filled with cookbooks, and that's great. If you use cookbooks, fantastic. I hope you do. I absolutely hope you get to use them. But sometimes we can just pare them down a little bit. And that takes a lot of space in the in kitchens or bookcases and that type of thing. So these are just some little tricks and tips and things that I see. Or if you don't want to get rid of any of them because, you know, one day want to, like we now have, you know, three, four kids. And when are you having a tapas and drink party at your house when you have like three little ones under the age of seven? Like, probably not often. You might just be like, here's some vodka and some like Fanta orange because you're like, I don't, or Sprite. Are you okay with tonic and vodka tonic? Because you're not getting out like 27 ingredients to make a drink. I hope I'm wrong, but I just do a vodka and something. I don't look at a drink menu and, oh, I have some pineapple juice. Okay, vodka, pineapple. That's the extent of my. Now, if I go to a restaurant, totally different story, but I'm talking about at your house. At your house, you're probably not using some of this stuff. And if you aren't on a regular, but you're not ready to get rid of it, that's something that you can put in a higher spot where you really just don't touch, you know, a top shelf somewhere, or maybe a bin in the garage that you're just like not ready to yet. Office stuff, you know, like I said, paperwork. Office supplies, like, you know, these desks are not, you know, for the most part, usually it's, you know, two or three drawers for like the small stuff. And then you have one, maybe two drawers for like your files. So I see where the files have carried over onto the side of the desk, boxes, you know, things you haven't opened, mail you haven't opened. And it's just also another area of chaos that when it comes to mail and stuff like that, I mean, there are some people that truly need all of that mail and they do look at it and that's their thing. But it's really unnecessary clutter that we can streamline with just clicking a couple boxes and taking a few minutes, you know, like, hey, I don't you know, I don't want this anymore. Please just, you know, online statement works just fine. Paperless is the way to go if you can. Taxes, 3 years, 7 years if you have your own business. There are people that are so scared to get rid of their taxes. They're so scared. And again, you know, to each his own. I'm not telling you because I do it this way, it means we have to do it that way. However, I do try to guide. Like, there's no reason to keep 20 years of taxes. There's no reason. If they're telling you 3 years, and if you have your own business, 7 years, I mean, they're not going to research 1998. I don't believe they are. And so let's just let it go. It feels good to let this stuff go. Bank statements. Oh my gosh. I see bank statements, drawers and drawers and drawers. I do a lot of work with real estate agents and kind of helping get homes get ready for photography and getting ready to be listed. And I remember there was this house in one of the rooms, which this house was in a terrible disarray. And it was just, you know, they were selling it like as is. It was pretty old and just nobody had really thrown anything away forever. It wasn't quite a hoarder situation, but hoarder-ish, if that's a legitimate term. I saw bank statements from like 82, 84, back when it was like Security Pacific. I'm like, you, what? Why? What? We don't even know what that bank is anymore. Half these banks are out of business. You don't need stuff from anywhere remotely. I say, keep the current year and the year that you're in a tax year. You are going to be doing your taxes for that year. Keep that stuff if that brings you peace and harmony. A lot of people get a little nervous when it comes to paperwork. Electronics. So, man, this one is something that I just did not see until I started doing organizing. I just never paid attention. Obviously, this has been going on in May will be my 9th year. So let's say 8 years of going into people's homes and stuff. There's more devices now than there was. You know, everybody has a new iPhone every time a new one comes out. And then you have the iPad. And then you know, some people still have their original, you know, what was it called when you, the Nano, iPod, the original one. I mean, this is like, and now we're at Nano, and now you just listen to it off your phone. I mean, and cameras, right? We had, you know, in the office, sometimes in the closets, there's cameras and stuff and this and that. And it's like, if it's a current, and it's in good condition, try to see if you can resell it or give it to a kid or, you know, give it to your child if you want them to have a phone or an old iPad or something. But why are we hanging on to these flip phones and like Nokia walkie-talkie phones? Like, I think you could just take them to the electronic recycle. Be okay with it. I see like boxes, cards. Okay, there are people that truly do love to write cards. Thank you cards, yes. You know, every card for every holiday, yes, no, that's fine. I see boxes and drawers and containers, like bins of just cards you were eventually going to get or you had good intentions to send out. A lot of people do their Christmas cards online, whether they send them online or they, you know, order them online and then they get them and they're in an envelope and they send them off. They don't even write anything. So you send out your Christmas cards every year. Why do you have 47 boxes of Christmas cards then? Maybe you have a couple so you can give to the teachers or you can give to your neighbors or something or, you know, whatever. I don't know, but no one's doing that. I mean, I shouldn't say no one. Not a lot of people are doing it. It's one of those things that it's time consuming. We have the lists of the addresses, you know, that you've kept for 30 years. Those people probably don't even live in the same home. Let's update that list, or let's just not carry on every address that every person's had since they were born and now they're 90. Like, some of that stuff is just unnecessary clutter. And that clutter, when I say unnecessary clutter, it's also clutter in your mind. Sometimes it's hard to shut off our brain. We know this. Like, you know, my husband comes home from work and he's like, I'm so tired, but he can't go to bed right away. Like, he can't go to bed within an hour. He has to like decompress, maybe turn on the TV, maybe watch, you know, a car show or something that just kind of makes his brain. And even then, sometimes he has a hard time shutting down his brain. And I get that. I understand that. There are times where I have a hard time shutting off my brain. Now imagine, you know, I'm a fairly organized person. Yes, I have some clutter. Yes, I have life going on and not everything is perfect and bows and ribbons. But imagine how your brain is if you have all of these components that aren't necessarily necessary. That's something that is tricky because we have so much going on in our lives with all the shit that goes on with our kids, with events like their kids' social calendars, with the parties and the this and the after school events. And then you throw in, you know, rooms and rooms of extra stuff that you don't need. And yes, I know that having someone come in to help you organize your home is an investment. And we've talked about, you know, we all can color our own hair if we went to the store and got a box of coloring, but it's nice to have someone that kind of guides you and helps you and gets it to where you want it to be. Same thing goes for the house. Like, yes, there are some budget restraints. A lot of people can't afford to have the they don't have the disposable income that is needed for, I don't want to say luxuries like this, but extended, you know, help. So that's why I give you these suggestions, because sometimes it can just help. Like, oh my gosh, like even just cleaning out like a hall closet, you could just see the bricks just coming off people's shoulders, and it makes me feel good. And you know, I'm always here to help. I love helping people. I do not walk in and think, oh my God. I sometimes worry about just how mentally exhausting it must be when you're moving 27 things to get to one thing. And if you just maybe don't spend money on Amazon or online for a couple weeks, and you just invest in having someone come in and help you. I would love it to be myself, but there are millions and bazillions and hundreds of wonderful organizers that have the same mindset I do and just really want to help and get you guys back on track and declutter not only your mind and your home, but just to create less stuff. We love stuff. We're, like I said, we are a gluttonous country. We're a gluttonous society, and we love stuff. And sometimes that stuff isn't necessary anymore. It might have been, you know, 15 years ago before kids, where you took the time to handwrite thank you notes and you'd scrapbook. Remember scrapbooking? You'd go and I did the class where it was like $100 and you got the kit to start scrapbooking. And then I went to Michael's or wherever and bought all the shit. And I literally did one photo album. It took me like a year. I didn't do it anything like I learned in the class. It wasn't nearly as cool. It basically was just me cutting little shapes out of this like weird paper. And that was it. And then I was like, well, I'm done. I don't ever want to do this again. So now imagine with kids. You have three little kids and they have all this stuff going on. And you're like, when am I scrapbooking? Does anyone even do a photo album anymore? That's a whole other topic. But no, you know, you don't need to have some of that stuff that you once had, or the behaviors we once had. Just like wearing that spandex dress that you wore in 2011 in Mexico before kids, you're probably not wearing that now with, you know, 6-inch stilettos. You're probably not wearing that now. Same thing applies for some of these things that we hang on to, wrapping paper and tags, and most people throw their shit in a bag. I love getting a gift wrap paper. I do see people that truly put the effort with the fabric ribbons and the decorative stuff. It's awesome. It feels nice to give a good gift. But on a day-to-day basis, when you go to a kid's party, what are you doing? You're going into your drawer of previous gifts and you're pulling out that gift bag that isn't too mushed and isn't too crushed and doesn't have writing on it. And you're grabbing the tissue that you might have kept from the previous gift that you got, or the tissue that you save that you think looks great. And then when you go to put it in the bag, it looks like an old Kleenex that you wadded up and you're like, this is fine. You know, little Bobby isn't going to care when he opens up his dinosaurs. We're not wrapping, you know, so do we still need 100 rolls of wrapping paper? Maybe not. Maybe you do. And if you do, more power to you. But sometimes we don't, and it's just, again, more clutter, unnecessary things that aren't relevant to our current day-to-day doings. Maybe when we retire, we go back to wrapping presents. Who even knows? Maybe everything will be digital and online. You won't even give presents anymore. You'll just look at someone or give them a gift card, and you don't even have to do anything, and you don't have to worry about having a gift wrapping station. And some people want that, and they should want that. If you're into that, please, by all means, but you can streamline some of it because you're probably not using everything that you once did. With that being said, I think that here's something else that, oh man, this is a topic that just, it boggles my mind, but almost every man says the same thing. Cords, electronic cord, like cords for electronics that you don't even have anymore, but you don't even know what it goes to. Like, I'm not saying everybody has Apple products, but pretty much if you have an Apple, maybe hang on to those white, you know, chargers and plugs, and maybe they're still relevant. I don't know. But some of these are like phone when you used to have a landline cords. And it's not even just a bin. It's like 27 bins. You keep every little thing. You do everything little thing. A couple ways to organize that is if you know what it goes to and you know that you use it a couple times, like maybe you had, what was the, you know, let's say you had the VR, you know, glasses or whatever, and you had the remotes and stuff, maybe get a baggie, write what it is, put the cords that came with it, put it in a basket in your, you know, your living room or in a cabinet or something that you, so you know what it is. But some of this shit is like cords, and every man will be like, well, you never know when you're going to need it. I'm like, you don't even know what it goes to. And one time, like 7 years ago, David sent me a picture of a cord. He was looking for something. He needed a cord. He dug through his 9 trillion old ass cords that he got from something. He's like, see, you never know. I'm like, yeah, that's once in a bazillion times. Are you actually doing that? But men will hang on to those a lot more than women will. I will say that a lot more. Another thing I see a lot of are laptops, going back to electronics, you know, laptops that you're like, oh, well, I got a new laptop, but I know there's stuff on it. So, okay, go take your old laptop to Staples or to Best Buy, have them pull out the hard drive for you. So nobody has your information and they could donate, you know, they can recycle it for you there and you have the hard drive. 95,000,000% of the time, you're never referencing that. There are people that do, but you really aren't referencing that hard drive. You just feel like, I don't want any of my information out there. That's fine. Pull the hard drive. But I'll go to houses and I'll see like 15 different, you know, laptops, generational laptops. The first Mac to now is 75 pounds different in weight, and you're never referencing that. You don't even know what's on it. So these are things that, again, just take up space. You know, it takes a couple minutes for them to do it at Staples, Best Buy. You know, I'm sure you could probably figure out how to do it, but that's not something that I would know. And, you know, you just take it there. They take out the hard drive, give it to you, and they recycle it for you right there. Done. You don't have to go to an electronic recycling. They handle it for you. One less step to do. One less step to do. That's always my goal. One less step to do. I hate touching things multiple times. I really would love to touch if I had to, you know, twice, but occasionally you do get that third time. I see, you know, I've gone to houses where I've moved certain things for 5 years. I've been going back. I have a lot of repeat clients that I see on a regular basis. I'm moving the same stuff for 5 years. And I'm like, do you want me to take it for you? Like, I can't look at these laptops that are non-existent anymore. They weigh 10,000 pounds. You are not referencing that, but you're afraid to do it, which I understand. So let me help you. Kind of one less step to do. So yeah, that's kind of the office area. I'm sure I'm missing something in the office, but those are the things that I see a lot. You know, I have people that keep their paper clips. If they're getting rid of and they're purging papers, they will actually take the paper clips off the papers. And, you know, that's a preference too, if you want to do that. But, you know, paper clips are pretty inexpensive. You don't need to keep all this extra stuff. So a happy, organized office is an office that has less chaos for you. And if you are working from home, I know a lot of times you walk in there and you're like, ugh, look at these piles of stuff. Well, let me help you get rid of those piles of stuff. And some of these little tricks that I'm telling you about today will hopefully do that and just kind of guide you and help. I've mentioned this before and I will continue to mention it. If you have any questions, if you have any feedback, if you want to set up a Zoom consultation or you want to, please reach out to on social. My website in itsproperplace.com. My Instagram is Jennifer_Sattell or in itsproperplace.LA on Instagram as well. I love feedback. I love hearing ideas. Topics you want me to say, questions you want answered. I love telling and sharing what I've learned, what I know, things I don't know. I don't know everything. Sometimes I like to think I do, but I know that I don't. And, you know, please reach out. And I look forward to talking to you again next time. Have a great day. And thank you so much for listening. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love today's episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life.
Until next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most.